On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina.
Yeah, I agree, man. And I think that's a very valuable and maybe underappreciated skill for strength coaches in professional baseball. Is like you have this kind of dream scenario of what the guy's going to do in the offseason. You write him this great program and then he shows up and he didn't do anything. And it's like, all right, well, we have to start here versus where we expected to be. Or, you know, a guy gets traded into your organization midseason and he may want to follow your program. He may not, he may fully buy in, he may fully be out. Like all of those things go into like what our day-to-day interactions with players and programming decisions look like. And it's hard for people to grasp that, I think, and be like, well, why doesn't he just do the program? And it's like, well, it's not as simple as like, I gave it to him and he just does it. Like guys have outside influences, and this probably leads us to like that social media aspect of this question, right? Is like they see things on Instagram, they hear things from their off-season strength coaches, they've got people in their ear. Like the access to information is crazy nowadays for players, and it's like, you know, something pops up and a guy will come to me and be like, hey, what do you got on this? And like even I've never even heard of it, right? It's like this brand new thing, and I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, let me look into it. And they're like, oh, they're promising this, this, and this. I'm like, before you jump ship, like, let me see what's going on here. Like, if this is really marketing or if this is just like, you know, it's an actual good thing. And so I'm glad you brought that up. And you know, the thing is, like, we talk about having side hustles as strength coaches and like, you know, being able to use our expertise and helping people. And it's like, it's a hard line to figure out of like, I want to help people. I want to put my information. I want to put my expertise out, but I also don't want to look like I'm patting myself on the back all the time or like making this about me. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just a really weird place to be. And like with social media, like I said, everything is so accessible and it's like, you know, I want to get this content out, but also like, I don't want to look like I'm like, hey, look at me, look at me. Cause like we said earlier, honestly, it's all about the players, right? Like they're going to play the game whether we're around or not. And like, it's cool that we get to be a part of it, but it's going to go on whether we're here or not, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. And like I said, you can't have an ego. Like if a guy doesn't want to do your program and he's got a guy he's worked with for the last 5 years, maybe he has a relationship with that guy. Maybe that guy helped him get drafted. And like, I think it's important to not like just be negative about the program they're doing or root against them, which like, I feel like that can kind of be a common thing too with strength coaches. It's like, oh, he's not doing my program, I don't care. Like, it's like, well, maybe research it a little bit, find stuff you like in it and let them know and be like, this is what I would change though, or maybe like modify. But try to come to like a mutual agreement on it. It's not your way or the highway. Like some people think, I mean, you can be out of a job a lot quicker than them with that kind of mindset. So I think the best piece of advice is, and this is what I started doing early on, but like every off season, I tried looking up a new certification and studying it. Like I did, I think EXO is my first year. I did Altus 1 year, looked into Cressy stuff, just because you're going to have guys going to all those places. So like, if you can understand the lingo they're speaking or why they're doing a certain method, it's only going to make you a better coach and easier to work with guys too in season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's roll with that. So one of the questions I have for you is advice for others in the field. And you just said, you know, getting new certs and looking into all these avenues. Is there any other advice that you have for coaches that are listening?
Well, I've already kind of mentioned it, but be a test dummy on yourself. Like, don't just program something in you've never done. You don't know how it's going to affect them, especially while they got to play a game and all the pre-game stuff too. Never stop learning. It's, I think it's important. Get your, if you like going to school, get your master's degree. If you like a particular method, if you're a big FRC guy, get certified in it. If you like PRI, if you like Westside Barbell, study stuff you're interested in, study stuff you're not interested in. First year guys, don't come in too hot. I think probably everyone's done that. Like, I came from this big college and like, I did that my first year, like in rookie ball. I'm like, oh, I learned all this stuff at, I was at three D1 colleges before I came in and I know all the answers. And like, then when a player tells you no, or like it doesn't like again too, like it's great to have a program. Like it's important to have a program on paper, but you got to be able to modify based off that program. So you can have all this perfect stuff. Like I keep going back to like the gym aware and all this, but when you get stuck at a stadium on the road and they have a hallway for you to use and no barbell, what are you going to do? You know, you have all the science and expertise, this big degree. And it's like, well, you just gotta find a way to get stuff in. Don't have a huge ego. Like that kind of goes back to social media. Like it's not about you. It's cool. You get to work for a pro team and stuff, but like I'm not a fan by any means. I want to win ball games. I want to get guys promoted. That's all I care about. I could care less. Like I'm with a pro team. Like that's cool, but I'm not going to broadcast that. Like I'm this big name strength coach at this, which I feel like that's kind of becoming a trend with some people. Again, I'm not an influencer. It's not about me. So
all, it's about all the really, really good stuff. The don't come in too hot, especially, it probably rings very true in professional baseball. I can also think of a time when I came in too hot in my first year with the Sox. You live and you learn, but it's easier to learn from others' mistakes than to make your own, I think. So
that's a good, that's a good story too. My first year in pro ball, I'm in the Appy League. The team's like,
everybody's got an Appy League team, bro, or an Appy League story, bro.
I actually worked with Jeff Dolan that year. He was with the Yankees org.
Okay. But,
yeah, so like it's getting to the end of the year and like guys are starting to dick around a little bit. And it's pregame and they're like screwing around on the line and there's fans and stuff there. And I just kind of had it with them that day. And like I kind of blew up on them. And I was like, you guys, you know everything? Like stretch yourselves. And I walked in the dugout. It was like only 10 minutes to game time or whatnot. But, so I sat in the dugout the whole time, didn't say a word to anybody. They knew I was pissed. One of the players that was dicking around, he hit two homers that night, sent me a text after the game. He's like, hey, I apologize. I won't screw around again. So, like, that was cool. But then I did it about 2 weeks later, same kind of scenario, like, dicking around before the game. And they didn't respond well. And then I had a talk with my coordinator the following year because I lit into him in spring training one day. And he's like, dude, you gotta relax a little bit and like, you know, have the feel, the feel component to it. And so then like that third year I went to double A, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to be able to act like that. I'll get my butt kicked, by somebody. So, but that's like a learning thing. Cause you come from the college setting and it is like, do it my way. It's my way or the highway. This is our program. And I don't fly in pro ball, especially when you start getting players that come from different orgs or, they've done more than you in their career, So.
Yeah, I agree. And I had like the two episodes ago, maybe was it the Have Some Feel episode. So if anybody is listening now and they haven't listened, like it's worthwhile to learn from the mistakes that we made and we talked about on the episode. But so you were the International League Strength Coach of the Year this past season. First and foremost, congrats on that. I've had a ton of guests on here that have won the award, and every time I bring it up, it's voted on by your peers. So congrats to you, but also at the same time, I want to know what you're doing that makes you so successful and what you think in general makes a strength and condition coach successful.
I think first and foremost is be there for your players. I'm pretty open with the weight room. Like I'll have guys come in before the game, like pitcher come out of the game, lift, guys that lift after the game. I'm always open to it. Whenever you want to come in, As long as it's like there's a rhyme and a reason to it, not you're just coming in to kill time. But I feel like there's some strength coaches where they're like, yeah, I'm not going to take a team to the gym in the morning. And it's like, I've never understood that. I've always taken teams to the gym in the morning. And even if I get three guys, like it's three guys I want to lift that morning. I don't ever want to turn a guy away from the weight room. Like if they want to come in more than the requirement, that's great. We'll find a way to get it done. Like I want to encourage an environment where the weight room's fun to be in and they get work done. Make them feel good going into the game that night. This is kind of a selfish thing, but like I'm motivated to win. I want to win. So that's kind of what drives me to show up every day. And we're going to do the extra work because I want to make sure our guards are ready to go. And it doesn't matter what time. You got to be there with the guys through the highs and the lows. It's a long season. You're going to have rough patches. You're going to have rough years. I had one year we went 49-90. And that was miserable. That was the worst year of pro ball for me. But it helps you learn like how to handle that. And then I've had years where, like I said, like last year we're 87-63, which was a great year. I don't ever stop learning. Like I want to keep learning every year. I think that's important. Don't think you ever have it fully figured out because this is a very adapting field. There's a lot of new methods every year and people that come in and can kind of give you perspective on things. As far as like communicating with other coaches, make your weight room available for them. Like the way I look at it, it's cool. Like even the teams you play against, like there's a guy trying to get to the big leagues on that team too. And like, I'd love to see him on TV in a couple of years, you know, like, so we're all doing the same job, help each other out. I mean, I'm not ever going to be like, no, you can't use our weight room because you're basically the enemy or anything. I don't approach it like that. Like, we're all doing the same job. I'm trying to get everyone paid, you know, like have a clean year. So, see if I wrote anything else. Now just keep researching and learning.
The last one there really kind of rings pretty cool for me. Like it rings something special for me. In 2019, I was in AAA. And I would always try to have the gym open for the other team, you know, and sometimes it didn't line up great with, you know, day games or whatever. But there was one point where we're playing Syracuse. And at the time, they had like 80 years of big league experience on their team, like tons of like Carlos Gomez is on the team. Gregor Blanco is on the team. You know, Rene Rivera is on the team, like Hector Santiago is their opening day starter, like just tons of talent. And then Jeff Kemp comes at some point during the season. That was actually the year, I think that was Tebow's last year of pro ball, Tim Tebow's. So it's like a day game and their strength coach like, hey, you know, some of my guys want to come over. Is that cool? And I'm like, yeah, of course, bring them over. And like, you know, our guys are like eating breakfast or whatever. And they're like, oh, why is there these guys coming to our gym? And like Kemp comes in, like Gomez comes in and somebody else comes in and it's like over 30 years of big league time and nobody says anything when they're in there. And then as soon as they leave, they start, mouthing to me like, oh, why'd you let those guys in? We're trying to play against them. This is our place. I'm like, those guys are trying to get back to the big leagues, bro. Like they got all of them have like 10, 8, 10, 12 years. Like, and they're still here and it's a Sunday morning and they want to get their work in. Like they are trying to get back to the big leagues. And they're like, well, when we go there, do they let us use their gym? I'm like, yeah, of course. You guys just never asked me for it. And they're like, oh, okay. Like my bad. But like the fact that you're saying like there are guys on that team that are trying to get to the big leagues too. And we're all in this together. Like it really is like, I mean, winning is important in the minor leagues. Winning is important everywhere. Absolutely. But I don't know. There's just something about in the minor leagues of like having that mutual, like, I know those guys over there are grinding. They had an 8-hour bus ride here. Like, you know, that guy's got 10 plus years in the big leagues and he's just trying to chase that dream like one more time and just, get those big league spreads one more time, like be in those big league stadiums one more time. Like, I don't know, there's just something really cool about it. And that year, I think a lot of those guys ended up getting called up because of injuries or this, that, and the other thing. And like, just knowing like, hey, that those guys were here, and like, you know, whether my guys were happy about it or not, like we, you know, we gave them a chance to fulfill that dream. And for me, like you said, it's cool when your own guys get promoted, but it's also like, we are kind of all in this together, and we are trying to get people up to the big leagues. And, you know, competitive advantage or not, like, the big leagues is an amazing place to get to, and not everybody gets to experience it. So anytime that you can help somebody get there, like, I'm 99% of the time I'm for it. You know what I mean? I would agree with you there for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like this year I was stoked when, I think his name's Maggie, the guy was like 33, yeah, got called up, and it's like, forget how many years he had in the minor leagues, but like, that's cool to me, man. Like a guy that stuck around, like you always have a chance till you hang it up. So like, seeing a guy grind like that and finally get a call up that he's probably been dreaming about forever. So, but yeah, like help each other out. There was a situation this year where I think we had like 5 or 6 rehab guys on the road, and like, you know, I felt like a pain, like having to keep calling the strength coach or texting them like, hey, can we come in at this time or at game time? Or these guys don't want to lift in the morning. They want to lift that during the game. And like, but it kind of goes both ways, you know, so always be open to working with the other team.
You've mentioned learning quite a few times throughout this interview. So where are you going for continuing ed? What books are you reading, podcasts you're listening to, seminars you're attending? Like, where are you going and what would you recommend?
I wrote down for books right now. I'm reading The Essentials of Sports Science. I plan on getting certified in that. That's just kind of a particular interest of mine. I've always kind of been fascinated with the technology and how we can kind of bridge the gap with sports science. Also kind of browsing right now, Adarian Barr's book. It's called Let Me Introduce You. He's got a lot of great stuff on the foot, and he's got a good podcast with Joel Smith, Just Fly Performance. I took Joel's course last year. It was Elastic Essentials. It's a great course. As far as other courses, I love Exo's stuff. I think they have a good system there. Altus. And then I put for podcasts, I put Just Fly Performance. And then obviously this podcast.
I hadn't heard of the Elastic Essentials. Was that one? That one pretty solid.
It's awesome. I took it last year. I'm probably going to re-look at it this year. Has a lot of good stuff on the foot arches and just different ways to do things, like bear crawls, like instead of being so like the stationary and stiff, like the kind of more like, I forget what they call it, like an alligator crawl where you're actually rotating the hips and the shoulders and, you know, the use of Indian clubs and stuff like that. It's just different. That's why I liked it. And I love Joel's podcast. So he's got some good ideas.
Yeah, he's got a lot of really good content. So I'm definitely, I wrote that one down, started. I'm going to look into it. So I want to get you out of here, man. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I always finish these with a lightning round. 4 questions, as long or as short of answers as you want. And then I'll get you out of here, I promise. You cool with that? Okay, let's do it. So first one, who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
I can't just pick one. I have a few. But okay. I didn't really talk about the beginning of my background in strength conditioning, but I was coaching high school ball, and I went to a high school baseball conference, and Frank Velasquez spoke, and he was Pittsburgh Pirates strength coach at the time. Didn't even know that was a career. So that was kind of like a turning point for me. I'm like, oh, I can do this. Like, that's something I'm interested in. So I'd say him, Perry Castellano. He was our head guy when I was with Minnesota my first year. And Eric Beezer, he was my coordinator. Those two guys. And then on top of that, I would say the Tiger staff. We have some new guys we brought in. Nelson Perez has been good. Steve Chase was our old guy. He was great. Coastal Carolina staff, Northwood University. I have a guy named Scott Fisher there. He helped me out a ton. Mizzou staff, Minnesota staff, basically everywhere I worked. And then a name probably no one's familiar with, Ryan McGraw. He kind of got me into the field. I did my senior internship through him. He had a place called the Saginaw Athletic Club, and he played baseball at Coastal Carolina back in the day. He had like 63 stolen bases one year, which was insane. But he was kind of the motivator back then. He got me into triphasic training back then. That was the first time I ever heard of it, the book and everything. So like kind of basically everywhere I've been has built off one another with the people I know, and like all good people. I've been very fortunate to have good mentors and influences along the way.
One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Barbell.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Getting players promoted. 2017, we made the wild card game for the Twins. That was cool. And I think pretty much every affiliate made playoffs that year. That was awesome. It was a lot of good energy, good vibes. Yeah, that's it. That's accomplishments.
Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
So I wanted to go to culinary school originally, but I also wanted to play college baseball. So that trumped it.
What is the best dish that you can cook? My dad's a chef, so I have the cooking gene. I'm nowhere near as good as he is.
I mean, I'm not great at cooking food. I just cook stuff I like to eat. But I mean, right now I'm doing like kind of a modified version of like the carnivore diet. So it's pretty much like steak, eggs, or ground beef, chicken every day.
So, all the essentials, right?
Important stuff. Throw a different seasoning on it. And if it tastes good, I'll keep doing it. If it starts to taste bland, I'll change it up a little bit.
That's the strength coach in you speaking. The combination of culinary and strength coach right there. Phil, I appreciate your time. I appreciate all the information and you just being so open with me. I know you said you're not huge on social media, but where is the best place to get in touch with you for our listeners?
I mean, I use social media. Like, I'm not a me guy on there as far as like, this is what I do. But Hart, H-A-R-T-T, S-A-N-D-C. So Hart Strength and Conditioning.
Perfect. Phil, I appreciate it. We'll be in touch soon, my friend.
Sounds great. Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude part two of our two-part episode with Phil. I hope you enjoyed both parts one and two. I took a lot of good notes between both of them in this interview. This is my first time really interacting with Phil and getting to talk shop with him. And that's the beauty of this podcast for me, is I've met a lot of great strength coaches along the way that I'm learning from as well. So three things that I took from Phil in this episode: push yourself to continue learning and adapting. Trying training methods on yourself prior to implementing them with your athletes can give you insight into how it will affect them. And find good mentors that can help push you throughout your career. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.